In the glory land. We're glad that God has watched over us, blessed us with the presence of mind to come and worship Him in truth and in truth. We appreciate so very much God's love of us, and we appreciate each other. God has shown His love to us. We in turn show our love to the Lord and to one another. I thought tonight that I would be able to slip a brother in and surprise y'all. But then all of that flew out of the window. I forgot about the hooking up before he comes up. But Brother Hughes, we know him from the Midwest. He'll tell you that. I had out all that information. And the minister there who he assisted there, he can share that with you as well, since the the surprise is out of the window. I could have had this brother to hook him up before we come out here, but I didn't think about that. So let's have a word of "You Fight On," Brother Brown. Can we have that? Let's have a song, a word of from the song, "You Fight On," and then Brother Hughes.
You fight on, do you fight on? You fight on, will you fight on? Keep your hand in God's hand. Do you fight on, will you fight on?
Well, just to start off, it's not my intent to keep us long this evening. I know all us brothers ate good this afternoon. And I bring you greetings from Kansas, my hometown of Kansas City, Kansas. Brother, I always tell this story about Brother Gaines. He's passed on now, but he had a minister class, a year-long class. It started out with 15 brothers, and only four of us finished it. But he took us through everything he said he learned at Southwestern, and I said, if you learned all this, and we got this in 1 year, I would have hated to have been down to Southwestern when you were a student, because he was rough on us. But leave that on the side there. I would like to thank all y'all for coming out this evening. Thank Brother Brown for giving me the opportunity and the leadership for giving me this opportunity to bring a lesson. Like I said, it's going to be short and sweet, and I do have a story to tell. I always like to tell a story, and this one came to me yesterday, and I had to go ahead and write it down. But if you want a topic, it's called A Father's Love. It's coming from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, and we all know this. The prodigal son. We know this story for years. Just a little side note, in October or November of this year, I would have been in the Church of Christ for 50 years. I was baptized right after my 6th birthday. I can't remember the exact date, that's 50 years ago. And I was only 6, but I remember it was about 10 of us boys went down in the water, right back, and out of those 10 boys, 5 of us are still in the church. Two of them are ministers right now, and like I said, I was a deacon at Church of Christ in Kansas City, but I still preach here sometime with Brother Brown asked me. So we're still faithful in the church, 5 of us out of the 10 who were baptized at that time. So God is good. Like I said, A Father's Love, Luke 15, 11 through 32. For many years, I heard this story about the prodigal son. We hear about the youngest boy who asks his dad for the money. We hear about the oldest boy who was ungrateful and not forgiving of his brother or his father once the son came home. But you don't hear much about the father. Most people skip over the father and go straight to the prodigal son and teach that lesson, or they talk about the older boy. That father is what I'm going to talk about this evening. Amen. This father, if you read the story, he had money. He was a wealthy man. And he had servants who took care of his every needs. The story tells us that he had 2 sons. We don't know if he had any daughters or any more sons, but it closes in on these 2 sons. Now, when you're dealing with children, I raised 4 boys. I know most of us who fathers have raised our children. Each one of them had their own different personality. All of them Even though they're raised in the same house, came from the same mom and dad, they all are different. Now, here in this story, you got this young boy coming to his dad, asking him for the money. Now, under Jewish law, you wasn't getting anything until the dad was dead. But this boy took it upon himself to say, I'm tired of living at home. And we've all been there. If you're young, you know, when you're young, I can't wait to get out of mama's house or daddy's house. So this boy said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step up as a man and go get my money for my daddy. Now, this man had two choices he could have took. And first, if that boy came to him like that, that was a slap in the face, because back then, and even to now, you don't disrespect your father or your mother, but let alone your father. So the father could have knocked him out or, you know, did some stuff to him. But the dad had two choices. He said, he could have said no, or he could have said yes. But this story says, you know, the dad knew what was going to happen. We all know, as parents, we know when our children are not going to do right. So he said, okay, I'm going to give you the money. My mom told me something a long time ago, and it stuck with me today, even though I haven't told my children this. He said, my mom used to tell us, sometimes you got to go down, excuse my word, food's highway to learn a lesson in life. So that's what the dad probably told us. Now, I'm paraphrasing here. That's not what the Bible says, but I can see it. If it was me, I would have told my son, you're going to have to go down this highway by yourself, and I'm going to give you your money. And so a few days later, the boy got his money. He left town. Now, being a father, the Bible says don't worry, but you know, I can just picture the dad in my mind pacing back and forth at night, worrying about his son. What's going on? Is he alive? Is he dead? I haven't heard from him for months. I don't know what's going on. And then, not like today where we have texting, cell phones, and I can sneak on his Facebook page and see what he's doing. They didn't have that back in those days. So he's worrying about his son. The mother's worried. We don't know about the brother. But as parents, we are concerned about our children. We might act like we tough and don't understand it, but we do. And when that little girl walks out the door with that young man on her arm, we worried about them. We concerned about them. Even though they're married and move on to their own house, they're still our baby. The son goes into the military, the son leaves home, we're going to worry about them. But especially if they go off this way, go off and do whatever they want to do, you don't know what's going on. So the dad was concerned about his son, especially when he knows he's not living right. And that's the key. If he's not living right in God's eyesight, you know, as a parent, especially a father, when they're not living right, it's hard. It's hard for a father not to think about that. But, you know, sometimes you have to let them go down that highway by themselves. But here's the kicker to this whole thing. Like I said, it's going to be a short lesson. I'm going to give you a story. It's going to be yours. This father, after all his son took him through, came to him, took his money, blew it, living after he blew his money, eating from the pig's trough. Now, this is a Jewish young man. They have no need to even be fooling with pigs. But here he is eating the same things that the pigs was eating. And in verse 18, he said, this is the boy said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That father must have taught his son about God, because he did mention this. I have sinned against God and you. So when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to go home. So he went home. And the father, seeing his son a long ways off, took off running. Now, many of ministers have got up here and said, I heard over years that Jewish custom, a man didn't run. And so, but he probably pulled up his robe and took off because he saw his son. All of us would do that. If your son is coming back, you know he's been in a trouble, you're going to run after that boy and give him a big hug, even though he might be smelly, dirty, stinking, smelling like a pig, and he's hungry. Probably don't even look the same the way he left. And here he is, all ragged looking. You're going to hug that boy, kiss him, tell him I love you. And what did the father do? Go get the best robe. Go get a ring put on his finger. Put some feet sandals on his foot and kill that fat pig, because we're going to party tonight because my son is home. That's what he did. That's a father's love right there. It's pure and simple. No matter what your child did, a father's love is there for them. You know, plenty of times I've worried my mother to death, and I've told stories about myself over the years. My mother probably got all the gray hair before she passed from me. She ain't had to have none from my sisters. She probably got a lot of them from me, but I can always count on whatever trouble I got into. If I called home, my mother would pick up the phone. David, I love you. No matter where, I don't care where I was in the world, if I called home, the first words out of her mouth, David, I don't care what you did, I love you. And I would tell her what I did, and she said, well, you know, that highway, you still going down the highway. But I'm praying for you that you would get yourself together. And that's what a parent would do. And I'm only dealing with my mother because I didn't have a father growing up. You know, that's a whole different story. And as fathers, when I told my wife, when I have children, I'm going to try to be the best father I can be, because my father wasn't there for me, but the brothers at the Roswell Church of Christ were there for me. So if I needed anything or needed to talk, they were there. So even though this boy came home, his father showed him this love. Even though the brother was talking smart to the dad and the older brother, and he knew that all he had was left over that his dad had was his, you know, he didn't have to do that to his brother. Sometimes your own family would do stuff to you, even though you're trying to get yourself together, the children, other children. So he didn't let that stop him, the father. He said, we're going to have Mary because your brother, in verse 32, it reads, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That's powerful words from a father. This is the type of love we should all have for our children. Now, in closing, I told you I wasn't going to be long. I just wanted to bring out those points in this lesson, because this is a powerful lesson for us fathers. You know, if we're not good fathers, then we need to get to be good fathers. If we're great fathers, you need to do even better. Because all the world we hear today, especially along black people, all we hear is dad beat dads. We don't never hear anything positive about a black man being a father. We always hear the negative. He ain't paying his child support. He ain't taking care of his kids. He done ran off with some woman and went across town. We never hear anything positive on the news about black men and they're raising their children. But I'm here to tell you, they're happening. It's happening all around this country. It might not be out there, but it's happening. Yes, sir. There's a lot of men that stay in the fire. It's rough. When I had four kids at home, I was working a job, full-time job, and two part-time jobs, trying to make enough money to take care of those kids. And Yvonne was working. We all put that money together. And my mom gave us this, and the church would give us this, and we would give to the church, and the church would give back to us, and other families, we were just sharing all that stuff. Well, I didn't have enough food. My mom would cook up enough food for everybody, all of us. But that's how family is, and the church is our family. So if we're having that type of problem in our lives, if you are a man and you're having problems raising your children, go to other men who have raised children successfully. And all the time, you know, and this is another thing we got to realize too. Once that child leaves our house, they have to go down that highway by themselves. We can preach, we can teach, we can pray, but, you know, I'm living an example that you can go out on a highway, go for a couple of miles and get off and come right back to the church. That's what God wants us to do. That's what the Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, and it will not depart from it. That's exactly what that means. You won't depart from it. All right, now the story. This came to me yesterday, so I went on and wrote it down. I read it to Yvonne. She said she gave her thumbs up. So I guess I'll read it. Sometimes you tell me my stories don't make sense, but okay. She gave me the thumbs up on this one. All right, I hope y'all like it. Now, there was an old man, and I'm sorry if y'all older people, it's not about you. There was an old man who'd been married almost 70 years. His wife had been sick for a few years, but he took care of her. He took good care of her. Each year on their wedding anniversary, she would wear her gown. Now, that was she didn't get like me after he got married. She would wear her gown, and they would look at pictures of their wedding and their children, their grandchildren, and some of their great children. They had a good time together, and they would hold hands, kiss, and eat dinner together. This happened every anniversary for almost 70 years. But this year was a little different. She was sick. She was too sick to dress up and was in the hospital not doing well. The man was at home, and he was feeling kind of depressed. But that afternoon, he was going to go to the hospital and see his honey. Before he wanted to go there before it got too late because he didn't want to come home too late. His son called him and said, "Dad, you know tomorrow is Father's Day, and I want to take you out and buy you a new suit." So that's all y'all children. That's a little hint to you. Dad might want a new suit. A new suit so you can wear to church tomorrow. So his son picked him up, and he went shopping. After they came back home, the son asked his father, "Go ahead and put that suit on. We're going to go to the hospital so mama can see how good you look." So the dad put on his suit, and they went to the hospital. When they got to the room and opened the door, there his wife was in the bed with her wedding gown on. All his children and family were there. Then he looked and saw the minister there was also. That afternoon, that old man and his wife got remarried or renewed their vows on their 70th anniversary. The father asked, "How and why did this happen?" All his children spoke up. He had five children, two boys and three girls. All of them spoke at the same time. He said, whoa, hold on. So he asked the oldest boy to speak for him. He said, "You went without a lot of things when you raised us. You sent us to college. You helped us with our children. You loved us when we were good, when we had good times and bad times. And we always knew, no matter what we did, you loved us. So this is the least we get to do to show you how much we love you." So this is what a father's love would do to his children. His children would understand that there is sacrifices that's going to be made when you're a father. There is things that you're going to have to lack so you can take care of your family. But just like in this story here, this man lost half his wealth dealing with his young son. That's a lot of money. But he still embraced that son at the end of this story and said, "My son is home. He was lost, but now he's saved." That's the father's love that we need to do. And also, if you tie it into God, just like Brother Brown says all the time, John 3:16, the ultimate love story is that God loved us, even when we were sinners, so much he sent his son down to save us. You can't get that much more love than that. Because I wouldn't give my son for anybody. I would die before I would give my son to be dead. But God knew that we needed him. He knew we're not perfect. He knew we're going to be sinners. But he also sent a way for us to get back to him. He gave us forgiveness of sins, grace and mercy. He gave us all the things. I said in my last lesson a couple of months ago, if you're going to go to hell, you can go, but God's going to make it hard for you to go to hell if you're in the Church of Christ. He gives you so much stuff to bring you back to him that you got to plan to do wrong and stay wrong. You just going to say, I just want to go to hell so bad, I'm just going to do wrong forever. And God said, even at the end of that, if you get yourself together, I will forgive you. But if you don't ever ask for forgiveness, God said, and nothing else I can do for you. I gave my son. What more do you want from me? So, in closing, like I said, after hearing this lesson, we as fathers, and I want all the fathers to stand up. If you're a father, stand up. If you need help, just hold your hand up. I want us to take a vow that if you're a good father, be an even better father until next year. Now, the women have their thing down good. In January, Mother's Day come on TV, and you hear about Mother's Day all the way up until Mother's Day. Father's Day, they started maybe about the 10th of June, and they start running the Father's Day commercial. But if you're a good father, be even better. If you're a bad father, or you've been slacking in your duties, pick it up. Do a good job. And so next year at this time, when Brother Brown or who's ever preaching, we can raise our hand and say we were the best father. We know what we can be. And we have to model ourselves on after our God loved us so much. So he can love us as raggedy as we are sometimes, as bad as we are. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. If God can love us unconditionally, we should be able to love our families unconditionally and our wives and children. So like I said in closing, No matter what we do, we need always have to worry about our children and the love that we have for God. If we have that love, we'll love our children. Now, you've heard the word this evening, and I hope you understood the message that I had planned to bring forth this evening. If you believe on that word, because if you're a member of the Church of Christ, you already had to follow these steps. There's one way to become a Christian, but there's five steps. And the Bible clearly says there's five steps. You can't skip over a couple of steps and just do one thing. God wants you to be able to hear the word. He wants you to believe what you hear. Because there's a lot of words out there, but a lot of words don't come from this Bible. A lot of words come from people's mouths. And it's not right. You can go to hell listening to a minister, but if you read the Bible and if it corresponds, then you know he's right. Then you got to believe what you hear, and then you got to repent. You got to turn away from those things you were doing and say, I'm going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to turn toward him and walk toward him. And then make that confession that brought death to the early Christians, but it brings life to us, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And then we have to be baptized. The water is already ready. It's probably nice and warm because I'm up here sweating right now. And I know we have all kind of garments back there. Like Brother Maxwell from Texas always used to say, if you have a wig, your hairpiece, or your weave, or whatever you got on, we got caps over there. You can put it on it. He used to crack me up when he used to say that. But we have all of that for you. So all we have, the brothers ready to stand by to dip you in the water, and three things will happen to you. Immediately after you come up, God will add you to his church, which is the Church of Christ, which you can find in the Bible. He will also send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, to you so he can guide you to make those right decisions. And also, he will add you to his church. I think I said that, didn't I? He will forgive you of all your sins. And that's the big one. All that stuff you did before you became a member, he just takes that paper and just tears it up. You're a clean slate. Now, once you mess up again, you have grace and mercy and forgiveness on your side. Until then, you were lost. So if you find yourself in any of these categories, let us stand as we sing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad. And